despite their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Last week we saw in the first six verses of this chapter, we saw the woman. There was a wonder in heaven, and we saw that woman, and that woman represented the nation of Israel. This evening we're going to see the war, beginning in verse number 7 down to verse 12. Next week in verse 13 to verse 17, we will see the wrath. The woman, the war, and the wrath. We saw the woman last week as the great red dragon was ready to devour her man-child as soon as it was born. That man-child, the Bible said, was going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Psalm chapter 2 tells us that that man-child is none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when that man-child was delivered, the dragon desired to devour him but was not able to. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared for her from God. Now, when the devil loses something, he doesn't rest on his laurels. When the devil gets defeated or discouraged, he doesn't just say, well, I failed at that attempt. I'm just going to sit back and do nothing about it. I'll let that one go. When the devil fails at anything, he doubles down. He gets ready to come back with a vengeance. And so what we find beginning in verse number 7 is something that is followed by what we've already read about. We've already read about his rebellion in heaven back in verse 4. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast him to the earth. We've already read about historically what the devil did when he rebelled against God in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 and led one-third of the angels in rebellion against God, and they were all cast out of the dwelling place of God. They were cast out of heaven because of that rebellion. That's history. That's not what we're reading about now in verse number 7 when it says there was a war in heaven. Back in verse number 4, there was no war. They rebelled against God and they were expelled. They were kicked out. Michael was not involved. There was no fighting involved. There was no war between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. So this war in verse number 7 properly fits right where we're reading in Revelation 12 in the middle of the tribulation period. Remember, it's chapter 10 to 14 are all taking place in the middle of the tribulation period. The seven seals have already been opened. Six of the seven trumpets have already sounded. And now in these five chapters, 10 to 14, we're getting a brief repose from what's going on before chapter 15. We'll pick up with the sounding of that seventh trumpet and that third woe, if you remember that, and then the beginning of the seven vials that are poured out. So we're at a time in the middle, and John is telling us what's happening right there. And it tells us in verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. I want you to see, first of all, tonight, as we talk about the war in verse 7 to 12, the place of the war in the first part of verse number 7. The place of the war. There was a war in heaven. Can you imagine that? Wars on earth, wars down here are not surprising. Wars happen all the time. There have been more wars since the United Nations were built that was supposed to be the solution to all wars. There have been more wars since that time than there were before that. We have fought two great world wars, and there are at least two more in the future, according to Bible prophecy. War among nations and war down here on earth is not surprising, but war in heaven. And the Bible says that this war takes place up there in heaven. This is not, again, a historical event, but a future war. Something that's going to take place in the middle of the tribulation period. Notice not only the place of the war, but the persons involved in the war. From the last half of verse 7, verse 7b, down to verse 9, we see who's involved in this war. It says in verse number 7, Michael and his angels against the dragon and his angels. Another indication that this woman in the first six verses that we read about, that woman is the nation of Israel, is the appearance of this angel named Michael. The archangel Michael is the archangel of the nation of Israel. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 1, you can turn there with me or just write it down, mark it down. But the angel Michael, his appearance here indicates that God's not dealing with the church, but God is dealing with the nation of Israel. Again, remember this. God is not done with the nation of Israel. They have not been cast aside. They have been laid aside for a brief period of time, but God is going to again begin working with them, and the appearance of Michael is an indication of that. The book of Daniel in chapter 12. Somebody took Daniel out of my Bible here. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." Here's God telling this to Daniel. "That great prince which standeth up for the children of thy people." Michael is the archangel of the nation of Israel. He is the one assigned for delivering them. And here in the middle of the tribulation, there is a war in heaven because the devil is the prince and the power of the air. He's got free reign and allowed to roam everywhere. And he's not only on the earth, but in the heavens. And at the middle of the tribulation, God says, "All right, I've opened these seven seals. I'm beginning to reclaim everything back to myself. And the first thing I'm going to do is get this red dragon out of heaven." And so Michael and the angels fight against the dragon and his angels. And so this is a battle over that woman. This is a battle because the dragon has been pursuing the woman, which is Israel. And God steps in and says, "I'm going to intervene here. I'm going to send Michael, and he's going to deal with this red dragon once and for all." And so there is a war in heaven. Notice it says in verse number 8 that the war was between the dragon, Michael and his angels, and the dragon fought with his angels and prevailed not. The devil's finally going to meet his match. The devil's finally going to be put in his place. It's not till the middle of the tribulation period. So don't be surprised now when the devil still has victories. Don't be surprised now when he still seems to be winning the war on different occasions. He's still got free reign. He's still roaming, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But one of these days, God's going to expel him from heaven down here to earth. And we're going to see in a minute, heaven will rejoice and the earth will mourn. Because once he gets kicked out from up there and sent down here, you think he's bad now. When he can roam wherever he wants to and be in the heaven, the heavenlies, and even be in at the throne of God, by the side of the throne of God, you think he's bad now. Wait till God confines him to just down here on this earth and see how he behaves then. There is a war in heaven. The dragon and his angels, and the dragon prevailed not. He loses, and he and his angels are banished from heaven. Currently, they have free reign. You remember the book of Job? I'll summarize. In Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, there was a day where the sons of God came and presented them before God. Now, this is a heavenly scene. The sons of God are talking about the angels in heaven. And it said, and we know that because, "And Satan came also among them. And the Lord says, 'From whence comest thou, Satan?' And he said, 'From going to and fro in the earth.'" So obviously, this is not an earthly scene we're looking at. This is appearing at the throne of God in heaven, and yet Satan has free reign to appear before the throne of God in heaven. In fact, not only does he have free reign, but he's commanded to appear there. He has to give an account of himself before God. And twice in the book of Job, in chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, chapter 2 and verse 1, the sons of God gather in heaven before the throne of God, and Satan also is among them. He has access to the throne of God. Now, he has no power there. You know the story of the book of Job. He has to say to the devil, or to God, he has to say, the Lord says to him, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And the devil says, "Well, put forth your hand." He's got no power, but he has the ability to appear in the heaven of heavens, in the third heaven, in the throne room of God. Not only that, but Ephesians chapter 2 calls, in verse number 2, calls him the prince and the power of the air. Not only is he in the third heavens, but he's in the second heavens. Those galaxies you see at night, those stars that are out there, Satan has power within those galaxies right now. He has free reign to work. He can encompass the earth. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12 that we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, the devil's got free reign. He can go everywhere an astronaut can go. He can go beyond where NASA can get to. We say, "Well, we've been to the moon." Devil says, "Been there, done that." We can see Mars and Jupiter now. He says, that's no problem. I've been there for thousands of years. The devil has had free reign since he was expelled from heaven. He's still been able to travel anywhere he wants to, and he's been in the heaven of heavens. He's been in the atmosphere. He's been around the world, and he's been down here on this earth. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil down here on earth. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat. 1 Peter 5, 7 says he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's in his heyday. The devil has free reign anywhere he wants to go. From the earth to the skies to the heaven and the throne room of God, Satan is able to go anywhere he wants to. But here in Revelation chapter 12, there is a great change that takes place. And that is that there's a war in heaven where God says enough is enough. And he sends Michael and his angels against the dragon as his angels. And Satan is cast out. The Bible says, and they fought and prevailed not, neither was there found any place in heaven. The devil is cast out. The people involved in the war, the devil and his angels against Michael and his angels. He's confined to the earth. He's restricted down here. When that great red dragon, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, is cast out into the earth. Notice the response in heaven. It says in verse number 10, and I heard a loud voice in heaven, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. You know what happens when he's kicked out of heaven? There's a loud voice. It says in verse 10, there's a loud voice in heaven. There is excitement in heaven when the devil finally gets his due. There's excitement by those in heaven when the devil finally is expelled from having any more power or influence in the heavens and the heaven of heavens and is confined to this earth. The devil doesn't like being confined. He doesn't like to be being tied down. We're going to read later on in Revelation chapter 20 that for 1,000 years he's going to be bound in the bottomless pit. And while he's bound there, his anger just immensely grows and grows and grows. And when he gets out, he unleashes everything he's got for a short period of time. The devil doesn't like it when he's confined. He doesn't like it when he's boxed in. And yet God is his master that can tell him go, and he has to go, tell him how high to jump. He's got to ask how high. God is in control of even that created being. But when he gets kicked out of heaven, heaven rejoices. A loud voice saying. Now, here's the question. Who is the loud voice? Let me ask you this. At this point in Revelation chapter 12, if you had to take a guess, who would you say had the most reason to praise God that the great red dragon has been expelled from heaven and bound to the earth? It says a loud voice saying. Now you know when the Bible says that the four beasts say something, it says, and the four beasts say. When it says the 24 elders say something, it says, and the 24 elders fell on their faces saying. When the angels, the host of heaven, say something, the Bible says, and the angel said. But when it says, and a loud voice, it leads us to identify who is this loud voice, who is this group of people in heaven that are so excited that the devil's finally been banished from them. Well, the best way is to compare Scripture with Scripture. Look back at chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse number 10. Well, start in verse 9. Chapter 6 and verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried, here it is, with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Who are these with a loud voice in Revelation 12, verse 10? The same with a loud voice in Revelation 6 and verse number 10. That is the tribulation saints. That is those following the rapture of the church that have to endure to the end to be saved. That have the testimony of Jesus Christ and faithfulness to the Word of God. And the devil is pursuing them and going after them. And the Antichrist is slaying them and murdering them. And in the first half of the tribulation, there are already many of them up in heaven. They're saying, "How long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood upon the earth?" And the Lord says, "Not yet. Not yet." But now in Revelation chapter 12, the devil is kicked out. He's banished from the heavens and sent down here and confined to this earth. And those in heaven, those same saints with that loud voice, say, "Now has come salvation. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Now let's keep things in context as we begin here, looking at this verse. They praise the Lord and they say, "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down." The context, the immediate context of Revelation chapter 12 is those tribulation saints saying, "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down." The accuser of the brethren is that one that is pursuing after these tribulation saints in the tribulation period. That one that's not resting day or night but trying to pursue them anywhere he can find them. Sending his minions, sending his servants, as it were, into the highways and hedges and trying to find those that are followers of Christ and eliminate every single one of them. And these other saints in heaven that have already been martyred say, "That accuser of our brethren," for that 3.5 year period that he has not rested and gone after them with all the vehemence that he can, they say he's finally cast down, the accuser of the brethren. Now that's the immediate context of the verse. But we do know crime to Scripture by understanding that he's always been and always will be the accuser of the brethren. Though the immediate context is the tribulation period, right now, folks, he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that goes up there and God says, as we mentioned already, "Hast thou not considered my servant Job? Oh, well, take everything he has and he'll curse you to your face. Touch his body and he'll deny you." The devil has always been the accuser of the brethren. He's been up there reporting every misdeed you do. You say, "Oh God, you know, I did something and nobody knew about it." Well, I guarantee the devil knew about it. One of his little demons, one of his little devils, one of his little minions that's keeping track on you and I as believers. I'm sure that that night when he gave his report to his commanding officer, the devil, he said, "Now so and so, you know what that preacher Leafley did? You know what he said today? You know what he thought today? Yeah, I'm reporting this to you." And he goes before the throne of God and says, he calls himself a child of God. He thinks he's a Christian. I got news for you. I know what he's done. I know not just what he did before he got saved, but I know what he thinks and what he says, things he shouldn't say, things he shouldn't do. I know what's going on now. He's been the accuser of the brethren. And when he gets cast out of heaven, there is shouting and rejoicing and a loud voice saying, "Salvation and strength and glory and honor unto our God." We're going to rejoice one of these days when that great accuser of the brethren is cast out of heaven. Verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Again, remember, verse 11 is keeping that context of Revelation chapter 6. This is not talking about the church. This is not talking about the Old Testament saints. This is talking about those that loved not their lives unto the death. Those in that tribulation period that were beheaded for the cause of Christ. I say this so often. Today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. You know, somebody that hears the gospel now, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now it's so easy to bow your head, and as we preached on this morning, it still works. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Oh, when that trumpet sounds and the church is caught up, things get a little rougher down here. Things get a little harder. You can profess Christ by your mouth. You can say you're a follower, but unless you're willing to stand to him to the death, it's not going to matter. And the devil's going to be pursuing them, and they are going to rejoice when that accuser is finally cast out. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There are some very dark, difficult days ahead on this planet Earth. We live in the devil's domain right now, and we think it's bad now. But this world, when the church is removed and the Holy Spirit of God's influence is taken away and the devil has free reign and is walking about seeking to devour everyone that names the name of Christ, oh, how difficult it's going to be at that time. And there are people on the earth right now, they're going to pass into that time period and live through these terrible things, and they have no clue what's coming. I'm reading a book right now that I was reading it before I fell asleep last night and thinking, I shouldn't be reading this book. It's about World War II. It's about the Philippines. It's about the Bataan Death March. That's not good sleeping material. I found that out. It was describing in pretty much detail what that Bataan Death March. 70,000 soldiers were captured in the Philippines when the Japanese overrode it, and what they endured and what they went through, not the physical torture, the heat, the starvation, the brutality, all those things that went on during that time. And yet that won't compare to the tribulation period. We think about the Holocaust and all that happened with the Jews, and that's a drop in the bucket of what's going to happen under the Antichrist. It's not going to be thousands or hundreds of thousands. It's going to be millions. It's going to be a difficult time. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death. Verse number 12. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens. Heaven's rejoicing. Heaven is celebrating. Heaven's having a birthday party. All right, I'll picture it in our human minds. There's the cake, and there's the ice cream, and there's the hats, and there's the trumpets, and all that kind of stuff. Heaven is rejoicing when the accuser of the brethren, after all these years, from even before the Garden of Eden, because he didn't get kicked out at the Garden of Eden. He was there when Adam and Eve were created. He was there before that. So for thousands of years, he's had free reign, and when we get to this point right here, he's got 1,260 days left. He's got 3.5 years left when we get to this point. When he's been cast out of heaven, he's confined to the earth, and now the numbers of his days on earth are down to 1,200. You say, well, that's a lot of days. Not when you've been around for thousands of years, and you're down to your last 3.5 years, and he knows what's coming. Heaven rejoices. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. But notice the next verse. Woe. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. I don't know if they're going to see this thing. John saw it. He saw the dragon and his angels fighting against Michael and the angels. You know, on the 4th of July, we see the fireworks go up and we all stand in ooh and awe as we see the beauty of those. Imagine a war in heaven. War down here on earth. You see those that are fighting in it, see the explosions, see the things that are going on. There's going to be a war in heaven. Is it going to be evident to those down here? How could they miss something going on up there? It's not just a supernatural event. It's a real physical event. As the dragon and his angels are cast out, and the inhabitants of the earth I don't know if they're looking up and saying, oh, how pretty, how beautiful the fireworks up there. But when that great red dragon gets cast down here with those angels that followed him, when they begin to take out their wrath against the inhabitants of the earth, they realize they're losing their battle. They're losing the fight. Again, I liken this to the book that I'm reading. When the gorillas, the Filipino and American gorillas that were in the mountains in the Philippines over there, that were still fighting with their limited resources against the Japanese people. The Japanese that could not find them hidden up in the mountains would go into the Filipino villages and just begin brutally slaughtering everybody there. Their wrath against the Americans and the Filipino scouts, they couldn't find them, so they took it on whoever was there. The devil's going to fight the same way. He's been kicked out of heaven. Nothing he can do to regain that position. But he's going to take it out on the people that are down here. You think the seals were bad? You think the trumpets were bad? We're about to get to the vials, and it's going to get worse. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you. Now instead of His wrath being spread throughout the heavens and the earth, now it's all concentrated on one place and one people. The inhabitants of the earth, having great wrath, because He knoweth, He hath but a short time. Again, from Revelation chapter 12 to Revelation chapter 19 and 20, when He is bound and thrown into that bottomless pit, are 1260 days, 3.5 years, and the devil knows them. He's got them counted down. He knows what's happening. And His wrath is just going to explode upon the inhabitants of the world as He takes His wrath out upon them, because He can't take it out on anybody else. We live in a world right now that though the devil walks about seeking whom he may desire, we have the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost of God. We can fight against him. He's being restrained. But once that is gone, and the devil's sent down to earth, and he's got free reign, there is no peace. There is no safety. There is no comfort for these that are living in the tribulation period. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to trust Christ as Savior. Because this great day of wrath, we're going to read about beginning in verse number 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the wrath that we're going to read about in verse 13 down to verse 17. Do you know you're saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? You know you got a home? He has saved you, the Bible says, from the wrath to come. That wrath is not hell. That wrath is what we're reading about right here. That wrath is His vengeance being poured out on a God-forsaken world. Not that He's forsaken it, but that it has forsaken Him. And one of these days, after He catches us away, praise God for that, His wrath is going to be poured out on a world that will not know where to turn and will not know where to go. And the only way out is to be numbered with those that are standing for Christ and being slain and martyred, not by the thousands, but by the millions. To volunteer for execution is the only way to get through the tribulation. They that endure to the end. I mean, you ever heard somebody say that to people right now in the church age? Well, unless you endure to the end, you're not going to be saved. You need to get your Bible right. That's Matthew 24, 25. That's not the church age. That's now. And these times are going to be very difficult times. The war in heaven. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.